God bless you, and I hope that's more than just a good song. Hope that's a sincere testimony. All right, you're going to think I'm crazy. Are you warm? Yeah, it is. I see people shaking their head no, but I've had people tell me it's warm up here. We need some fans. There's no fans on, are they? No. Okay, we need just one going and get a little air in here tonight. Moving. Spurgeon said, "Dead air creates a dead service." That's what he said. And I suppose he should know he was called the Prince of Preachers. So that's what he said. So we'll get some air circulating in a little bit. So one fan, which side are you turning on, Brother Griffin? The east side. So if you think if you're cold now, you better slip over here during the prayer, all right? And if you're not cold, you'll get some relief on the way. But it's a little stuffy and warm. All right. Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3. And find that passage. If you're getting familiar with your Bible, Book of Psalms again. This time go to your right. Lamentations chapter 3. We're going to look at several verses in this chapter tonight for our message. I'll give you a moment to get the right address. And if you found it and you're able to stand in honor of God's word, let's do that. I'm going to begin reading at verse number 18 of Lamentations chapter 3. Verse number 18. I still hear a few pages turning, and if by now you haven't found it, just look intelligently, whatever you're looking at, and nobody will ever know that you're not there, all right? Verse 18, "And I said," this is Jeremiah speaking, "my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord, remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall. My soul hath them still in remembrance, and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness." And we're going to take our title from this text. And I want to speak tonight on, is it time for a recall? A question, is it time for a recall? Father, I pray that You'll help us tonight. Speak to our hearts as only You can from Your word. It is truth. And God, it can help us if we'll receive it. It's more than just letting it come into our ears, Lord. It needs to reach way down into our hearts. And I'm trusting You, Lord, that there are people here tonight who can really be helped by this message. And if they're not going through something now where they can use it, they will be someday. So help us to listen, pay attention, speak to our hearts. Fill us with Your blessed Spirit's power, both speaker and listener. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you and be seated. The songwriter wrote, "If you've knelt beside the rubble of an aching, broken heart, when the things you gave your life to fell apart, you're not the first to be acquainted with sorrow, grief, or pain, but the Master promised sunshine after rain. Hold on, my child, joy comes in the morning. Weeping only lasts for the night. Hold on, my child, joy comes in the morning. The darkest hour means dawn is just in sight." I think that is Jeremiah's testimony in this chapter of Lamentations. A lamentation is an expression of sorrow. It's a cry of grief. And this book is a record of Jeremiah's lamentations and over the demise and destruction of Jerusalem and Judah. You know the story. God had used him to warn and warn and warn the people of God to repent and turn back to the commands and the worship of Jehovah God. And as Jeremiah warned, he also wept. He was called the weeping prophet. He loved the city of Jerusalem. In verse number 1, look at what it says here. He says, "I am the man that hath seen affliction by the rod of his wrath." So Jeremiah said he saw the affliction caused by the rod of God's wrath. You know, even though Jeremiah wasn't the object of God's wrath, he took it personally. Jerusalem was his city. It was his place of ministry. It was his people who were the inhabitants. And he looked at the punishment that God was inflicting on the city as being his own, because he felt so deeply about the city and the people of Jerusalem. Look at verse number 12. He says here, "He hath bent his bow and set me as a mark for the arrow. He hath caused the arrows of his quiver to enter into my reins. Jeremiah felt as if God had again made him the object of his wrath. As he watched the city fall further and further away from God, and just they stayed in rebellion. They refused to repent, and they suffered because of it. And as he watched this, he felt as if he was being shot full of arrows again himself. Any type of punishment that was levied from God against the city of Jerusalem, Jeremiah felt like it was an arrow piercing his own soul because he felt so deeply about this place and these people. Look at verse number 14. He says, I was a derision to all my people and their song all the day. Jeremiah's message was one of judgment, and the people didn't listen, and the people didn't care for his preaching. And they made fun of him as they watched him wither away physically. They watched him weep. They made fun of Jeremiah. They had him in derision. They were oblivious to the judgment of God. They didn't see their digression as a city as a result of God's judgment. They turned a deaf ear to all of his preaching, and they literally mocked him. He had a difficult, very difficult ministry there. They made him, kept him in derision. Look at verse 17. He says here, and thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. I forgot prosperity. Now, brother Jeremiah was in a bad way. Peace was removed far from him, and spiritual prosperity was a thing of the past. You know, people, it's one thing to have a day or two, or maybe a week of unrest and anxiety. It is something altogether different when peace is removed far from you, when you can't find it. You know, I was thinking the blessing of peace is really only realized and appreciated when we don't have it. When you don't have it, you realize how precious the peace of your soul is. And Jeremiah said, God has removed that far, far from me. And the spiritual prosperity of the ministry is just gone. It's forgotten. Look at verse number 18. This is interesting. Look at what he says. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. He said, you know, I used to find strength and hope in the Lord. But now in his estimation, those were no longer his portion. Jehovah God was not answering the phone. He was not coming through for the prophet. So instead of going to God and in a difficult time and getting strength and getting hope, there just seemed to be more affliction and more misery. And Jeremiah flirted with bitterness and he was discouraged by it all. He's in a bad way in the first several verses of this chapter. You know, Solomon wrote in Proverbs chapter 27 and verse number 19, as in water, face answereth to face, so the heart of man to man. And what the wise man was saying there is he said, you know, you see that a reflection of a face in water is not real discernible. One face looks like another. So it is with men's hearts. They are very similar because mankind, we're all made alike. We're all made from the same stuff. All that to say, it is possible, it is probable that someone or two or three or four or more in this church tonight can identify with Jeremiah in this chapter. As far as you know, you're in God's will. You are doing right according to God's word. But it seems as if you are being punished. It seems like any direction you turn in life, you're zapped with an arrow from God's quiver. Peace is hard to come by, and the prosperous spiritual fervor that you once enjoyed in your Christian life is lacking. And like Jeremiah, on top of all that, you used to go to the Lord for help. And he gave you strength and he gave you hope. And that supply of strength and hope was like a breath of fresh air. And it gave you a second wind. And now the wind is in your face. and the fresh air is stale. And your source of strength and hope has gone silent. I'm sure there's somebody going through some difficulty like this, because the heart of man to man, Jeremiah is not the sole recipient of this kind of difficulty in this kind of situation. This wouldn't even be in the Word of God if somebody didn't need it in 2022. So it's here for a purpose. And I want to show you tonight that Jeremiah gives us some insight on what to do when we find ourselves in that situation. And I'm going to get to the title of it in just a minute. But I want you to, we're going to learn from what he was doing, and then we're going to learn from what he chose to do. Now look at what Jeremiah was doing in verses 19 and 20. I read those just a moment ago. He's gone. He said, my strength and hope from the Lord, it's perished. I can't get anything to help me. Then he says in 19 and 20, remembering. Then in verse number 20 again, still in remembrance. What was Jeremiah doing? Jeremiah was remembering. There were thoughts running through his memory. He was thinking about the disappointment of not receiving strength and hope from the Lord. He was thinking about the bitterness of his situation. His depth of despair was on his mind. It was hard to forget. Why isn't the Lord coming through for me? Why has he not brought peace to me? Why are his arrows piercing my soul? And these thoughts were in his memory. They were easy to remember as every day, now don't miss this, every day his eye affected his heart. He could see his people. He could see the city. He could see its demise. He could see his own personal health failing. He could see his fruitless ministry. Nobody was listening. His anxiousness, all of it running over and over in his mind because he could see it. He could see all these things going on. And maybe you're living with that situation right now. Maybe it's you. Maybe it's someone you love. It's in front of your face. You see it every day. It's running through your mind. Remembering, remembering, remembering. This is what Jeremiah was doing. He was thinking and thinking and thinking about it over and over and over and over. And I want to say, church, what a heyday the devil can have with us when we allow some circumstance or some difficulty or some hardship or some disappointment to overwhelm our memory. And we allow it to run through over and over and over, and the thoughts produce the same emotions over and over, and it's a vicious cycle, and we think and we remember, and we think, and we remember, and we get down, and we get frustrated, and we get discouraged, and we get sad, and we get hopeless, and it's just a constant cycle of remembering. You know, I can remember as a younger pastor especially. Now, it's not as bad as it used to be, but as a younger pastor especially when situations here at the church would get on my mind, when disappointments, circumstances, criticisms, whatever, my thoughts affected my emotions. So do yours. And it would be on my mind, and it would just create anxiety and sometimes despair. And I would think to myself, stop it. Stop it. And then my memory would crank up again and bring the same circumstance, the same difficulty, the same disappointment to the forefront of my brain, my thinking, and I would allow it to run again and again, same story, same disappointment, same circumstances, same criticisms, and guess what? The same emotions, the same anxieties, the same despair, and it wasn't always the actions on the part of somebody else. Sometimes it was my own personal failures, my own fruitlessness as a child of God, my own lack of obedience, and it just, all the remembering and remembering and remembering, it was a drag spiritually. And I don't think I'm alone in that. I don't think I'm alone. Jeremiah had it. And there are a lot of you in this room, not a lot, but a bunch of you in this room. I guess a bunch and a lot, same thing. I don't know if there's a difference. But there's several of you in this room who might be experiencing this same thing right now. You know, it's just all you think of is the situation. You see it every day. And because you see it every day, or you're thinking about it every day, you hear something about it every day, It's just running through your mind and running through your mind. And that's what Jeremiah was doing. He was remembering all this stuff just over and over in his mind. Honestly, he'd given up on God. He said, my strength and hope from God has perished. That's what Jeremiah was doing. Then I want you to see what Jeremiah chose to do. And this will be a little longer. Look what Jeremiah chose to do. I was reading this passage. No, wait a minute. Stop right there. Look at what he said in 21. This I recall to my mind. Now, there's a different word used here. In verse 19, he's remembering. In verse 20, he's remembering. In verse 21, he recalls something. People, there is a difference in remember and recall. Remember means I have not forgot. I see you, I remember your name. I go to a place, I remember being in this place before. I hear something, I remember hearing that same thing previously. Recall. Did you see what he said? This I recall to my mind. What had previously been running through his mind, he didn't have to recall to his mind. Are you with me? It was just there. It was the predominant problem. It was the predominant situation. It was the predominant disappointment. It was the predominant difficulty. It was just there. But now he says, I went to the file cabinet of my mind, because I knew that somewhere in the file cabinet of my mind was a truth that I needed to put my mind on, and so I went looking for it. You probably have a file cabinet of some kind at your house, and in that file cabinet are important documents and titles and papers. They're all filed away, and you don't need them all the time. And because of that, they're on the forefront of your thinking until you need them. And then when you need them, you have to go and go through the files and recall that document, recall that title, recall that paper, and find them for your use. You know, my mind does not grab what's in the file cabinet. I have to recall it and bring it to my mind. That's what he said. This I recall to my mind. And guess what? Guess what happened? Look what he said at the end of verse 21. Therefore, because I ran to the file cabinet of my mind and recalled to my mind something. I'm going to show you what it is in just a minute. Therefore, I have hope. Brother, filed away in Jeremiah's mind were truths that he needed, but he had to recall them. And as a result of recalling these truths, he had hope. So what was it that was filed away that Jeremiah needed to recall? Well, first of all, he recalled this. I'm doing better than I deserve. Look at what he said in verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. You know what he's saying there? I'm doing better than I deserved. You know, mercy is receiving what we do not deserve. And if you and I got what we deserve, and if Jeremiah got what he deserved, he said he would be consumed, he would be wasted, he'd be spent, he would be done in for good. I mean, look, things were going difficult for Jeremiah. It seemed as if the Lord was against him, but in spite of all that, he's still doing better than he deserved. Now, that thought doesn't come to our mind quickly, when all the other difficulties are remembering and running through, and the circumstances and the situations, financially, physically, health-wise, job situations, friends, loved ones, and the thought that I'm doing better than I deserve doesn't go in. We have to go to the file cabinet of God's truth stored away in our mind and pull it out and remember, you know what? In spite of the difficulties, in spite of the circumstances, in spite of this difficult time of disappointment, concern, I'm still doing better than I deserve. Still doing better. It takes recall. It takes recall. It takes a conscious effort to stop and recall, to bring to your mind. This I recall to. Okay, you know what? Whoa, stop. And it's not just stop, because when you stop, you got to do something different. So it's stop. Now I'm going to. Oh, look here. You know what? God said that if it weren't for his mercies, I would be consumed. I got breath. I got life. Guess what? I'm doing better than I deserve. Still doing better than I deserve. And that's the truth, folks. What we deserve is to be falling and screaming and burning in a literal lake of fire because how we've sinned against God. I know we belong to him. I get that. Did we sing that this morning? Now I belong to Jesus. I believe we did. I get that. But I want to tell you something. Don't ever lose sight of the fact that without Christ, without salvation, we would be headed to a place where we would fall and scream and burn, forever separated from the God of heaven because of our sin. We have broken just about every one of the Ten Commandments. And because we've broken one, we are guilty of all. We're doing far better than we deserve. Far, in spite of the trouble, when we start thinking that we deserve better than we are experiencing, that's when we're in trouble. I deserve better than this. This shouldn't happen to me. This shouldn't happen to this. This shouldn't happen to this shouldn't. We're always experiencing better than we deserve. It doesn't mean that we will not have sorrow or trouble or pain. What it does mean is that in our trouble, in our sorrow, in our disappointment, in our pain, when we're tempted to feel that God is against us, we have to recall to our mind the fact that his mercy endures forever and I am doing better than I deserve. And the result of that kind of thinking gave Jeremiah hope. It gave him hope. It'll do the same thing for you. Do the same thing for me. I'm doing better than I deserve. The second thing he recalled is in verse 22. And that is, I am the recipient of compassions. Look at verse 22. Because his compassions fail not. Now, compassion is love in action. And Jeremiah used the plural compassions. That means more than one. And friend, I want to tell you something. It may not look like it on the surface, but in the midst of all this heartache and sorrow and anxiety and pain and disappointment, in the midst of all that, God loves me and loves me and loves me and loves me and loves me. And that compassion never fails. It never stops. And this is not some carnal, wicked man who's thinking it doesn't matter what I do. He still loves me the same. No. This is a man who is really under it. He's under it. And his memory is causing his thinking to run the same anxieties over and over again in his mind. He's struggling, but on purpose, he goes to the file cabinet of his mind to recall this wonderful truth. He loves me. He loves me. Jesus loves me. He loves me. He loves me. Jesus loves me. And it never ends. It never stops. Look at verse number 23. You can see why. He says in verse 23, they, God's mercies and his compassions are new every morning. No supply chain issue with God's mercy. No supply chain issue with God's love. Every 24 hours, it's restocked. It's full. It's plenty. In fact, I don't think it ever is even diminished. Scrape a little bit off the top, and the next morning, it's all up again, full, ready to go. Every 24 hours, when you and I wake up, we start a new day, better than we deserve, enjoying the love of God. Yeah. That doesn't mean I don't care about the heartache. It doesn't mean I don't give a rip about somebody I love, the pain they're going through. But what it means is, I don't say the Lord's forgotten me. I don't replace strength and hope with bitterness, because I'm concentrating on the circumstance and the situation and the difficulty and the pain. And when I run that through my mind and remember and remember and remember, it's going to take a toll on my spirit. That's why we have to run to the file box of God's truth that's stored in our mind. This is a great verse. These verses are great verses to commit to memory. Commit them to memory. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. His compassions fail not. They're new every morning. Why is that? Great is thy faithfulness. It's the faithfulness of our God. You know that old, how many of you have been out to Yellowstone and seen the old geyser out there? I didn't say the old geezer. That's the guy sitting on the sidewalk. You've seen the geyser, old faithful, old faithful. What is it? Every hour? Supposed to be, I forget exactly how often it is. Old faithful. Old faithful. I wouldn't call God old faithful, but I'd call him greatly faithful. And he's there every morning. New compassions, new mercies. So you know what I've got to run and bring to my mind? Because my memory is only going to dwell on that which I'm looking at. It's going to overwhelm me. So I've got to run to the file box. I got to reach in and recall. The truth is, I'm doing better than I deserve. And this has not changed the love of God one bit. Not one bit. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. You know why? Because I go to the box. There it is. I'm doing better than I deserve, and God still loves me. Great is his faithfulness. You ever had something recalled? Some product? You ever had a recall on your vehicle because something broke down, didn't work, wasn't manufactured properly, the design, the engineering, I hope for whatever reason. I'm not talking about recall like that. We're talking about a recall. We're talking about when you're hopeless and you're strengthless and you feel like the source of your hope and strength is not even listening. You've got to bring something to your mind quick. You can't keep running the same scenario. It produces the same emotion. You've got to remember, I'm doing better than I deserve. And I'm still the object of God's love. If we weren't the object of God's love, friend, then we'd be in a pickle. Great is his faithfulness. Is it time for a recall? Have you run things through your mind so long that you've given up? It's time for a recall. You're doing better than you deserve. I'm not minimizing your trouble, but you're doing better than you deserve. And nothing changes or separates you. In the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Is it time for a recall tonight? Go to the file box, pull it out. Put something different in your mind. You'll have hope. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you'll please use this message tonight. It didn't last very long, to be honest. But I pray it's eternal truth will help somebody tonight. And Lord, there's just a lot of things that people in this church are dealing with right now. Loved ones with physical health issues, cancer, surgeries, Lord, other things that are going on that are disappointments, bring heartache and pain. Sometimes what comes easy to our mind is what we're looking at and dealing with. Disappointment sets in and anxiety, and pretty soon we even give up hope. Seems like you're not listening. But you've given us your truth, and we need to recall it to our mind. We're doing better than we deserve, and we are the object of your love. Therefore, we have hope. Amen and amen. Help us, Lord, I pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Pastor, somewhere throughout the course of the message tonight, I needed this. God spoke to me and helped me tonight. Can I see your hand wherever you're sitting? Amen. Amen. If you need to be saved, the altar is open. If you need to be baptized, you obey the Lord. Otherwise, the altar is open for you. And if God spoke to you, do Him the honor and favor of speaking back to Him during this invitation. Let's stand. Our pianist begins the song of invitation tonight. Is it time for a recall? Is it? Do you need to run to the file box of the truth of God's Word in your mind and remember tonight that you're doing better than you deserve? You're the object of God's love. And that never changes. 24 hours, it's brand new all over again.